If you are at least my age or close, you probably remember decades ago, there was a guy who used to go to all kind of big sporting events, and he would place himself where he could be seen by the cameras, and he had rainbow hair, and he held up a big sign going like this that said John 3:16, and at the time he was doing that, I wasn't a very churchy person, and I went and looked up John 3:16 and thought, that doesn't really make me want to do this very much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Now here was the problem I had with John 3:16. I didn't understand why it would attract non-believers, because I thought, okay, if God created everything, why would God create a system in which an innocent sacrifice is necessary to overcome the sins of the guilty? I suspect there are a lot of people who wonder about that arrangement, that connection. One of the sources I use is Interpreter's Bible, and it says, is there a sadder fact in human history, that some have so misread the gospel that while it does draw them toward Jesus Christ, it only confirms in them their impression that God is cold and ruthless and implacable? If you read that verse closely, and if you think about God as having set up a system or the universe, it kind of makes you wonder what power is in this. So this verse, which is very often quoted as holding the power of Christianity in it, how can we explain it in a way that conveys to us the power and the grace of God instead of seeing it as a system set up by a capricious deity? As Leslie Weatherhead says in The Will of God, surely we cannot identify as the will of God something for which a man would be locked up in jail or put in a criminal lunatic asylum. He goes on to say, though, when circumstances wrought by men's evil set up such a dilemma that Christ was compelled whether to die or to run away, then in those circumstances, the cross was the will of God. But in only in those circumstances which were themselves the fruit of evil. Here's the thing. The cross came about not because of God's intent, but because of ours. We always wanted to sort of make a system of punishment, of reaction. We still like to quote, eye for an eye. Here's the thing. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not to satisfy God's wrath or God's system. It was to show God's response to our wrath toward one another. God so loved the world that he used a human being to prove that love triumphs over evil. Men's evil, and I will upgrade that in terms of gender specificity and say human evil, set up the dilemma in which Jesus had to choose death instead of yielding to it. It was our evil that set that up, not God. I always believed, since I did become churchy, that somebody in the crowd should hold up a sign that talks about John 10:10. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life means having equilibrium in a shaky world. It means having loving kindness in a world too often dominated by violence and selfishness. And it is having that loving kindness not only for people who are like us, but for those who are very different. and even for our enemies. That abundance of living, following God. God so loved the world. We often think of the word eternal, as in eternal life, as never ending. But it really is a word that is not so much about quantity, but about this quality of life. Life lived in the presence of God. I think we also have problems with any sacrifice God makes or Jesus makes because it's a willing sacrifice. Isn't it easier to kind of go back to the Old Testament and some of those passages and see God as punishing and wrathful so that we have some hope of explaining God's relationship to us? But how can we explain with our narrow human viewpoints a love so great that it accepts death rather than choosing evil? But that is the reality of Christian faith. God so loved the world that he would do anything to free us from the tyranny of others and of ourselves. God so loves us that all of our misguided attempts to explain the will and nature of God are forgiven. All of our mistakes and sins are forgiven and we are made whole. And that is not a system that we are comfortable with. At least when others fail, we think that humans should pay for their failures. I come to this passage with John 3:16 in it, and I try to take a big step backward and look at it from a sort of a broader perspective. What does it mean in the big picture? I believe that the heart of this story of God and God's people is absolutely true. And I think the truth of John 3:16 is that God would do anything to be with us. Even the thing that is for us the most unfathomable and unimaginable. To choose to die as an innocent rather than yielding to human evil. I have worked at it and worked at it and worked at it, and I cannot explain John 3:16. I don't understand. I don't think that I will ever understand as long as I'm part of this world. But I believe with my heart that God is loving and merciful. I believe that God alone is eternal. I cannot explain these things. I cannot prove them. And yet they sustain me. Here's what I know with my heart. I know that God has chosen to give us free will. I know in my heart that God wants us to use that free will to choose God. I don't understand. But John 3:16 tells me that God would go to any lengths to be united with us. Anything short of making us automatons that have no choice. God would do anything. God is all loving and all merciful. For God so loved the world.